Now we turn to read from scripture from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. It was just about Christmas time that I was thinking around the Christmas story and the fact that Christ was born to be a shepherd, and I came across the 34th chapter of Ezekiel. And when you read it, somewhere it's not quite what you think you would find in Ezekiel. The whole theme of it is quite a serious and challenging chapter in Ezekiel. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord, the Lord God to the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely, because my flock became prey and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, Indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among the scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and in the valleys and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their folds shall be on high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. As for you, O my flock, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. Is it too little for you to have eaten up the good pasture that you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and to have drunk of the clear waters that you must foul the residue with your feet? And as for my flock, they eat what you have trampled with your feet, and they drink what you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, Behold, I myself will judge between the fat and lean sheep. Because you have pushed with side and shoulder, butted all the weak ones with your horns and scattered them abroad. Therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and cause wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in their season, there shall be showers of blessing. Then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and there shall yield its increase. They shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them from the hand of those who have enslaved them. And they shall no longer be prey for the nations, nor shall beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and no one shall make them afraid. I will raise up for them a garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles any more. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God for the reading of Holy Scripture. Now, among the many word portraits, picture portraits in the Bible in general, and in the New Testament in particular, that is, picture portraits of Jesus, one of the, I suppose, most popular is that of the Lord Jesus as a shepherd. And the image of Jesus as shepherd is, of course, highlighted, summed up in his words, I am the good shepherd. Or as it is literally, the shepherd, the good one, the emphasis on the fact that he's the shepherd, the good one. And you know, in the John 10, he's contrasting himself with a person who's only a hired hand. Of course, where you have a shepherd, you usually, of necessity, have to have sheep. And in the Bible, we find a number of verses that contain these wonderful words, the sheep of my pasture. Who are those? Well, all the people of God. We, every believer, we belong to God. We are the sheep of his pasture. And that, friends, is profound, that we are the sheep of his pasture. In the Old Testament, the word shepherd appears many times. For instance, one of the earliest uses of the word appears in Genesis 48:15. Then he blessed Joseph and said, may the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walk, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. Brothers and sisters, are you able to identify with that for yourselves? That we can say as believers that since the day we came to faith in Christ, God has been our shepherd. That's the truth of the scripture.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, there is one person who not only is called a shepherd, but who himself refers to God as his shepherd, and that is, of course, David, King David. And it's most significant how he's often referred to in this way as being the shepherd. In 2 Samuel 5 and verse 2, we find these significant words. They are the words of the people of Israel to David. And they say to David, and they remind David of these words of the Almighty. And the Lord said to you, you shall shepherd my people Israel, and you shall become their ruler. You shall shepherd my people Israel, and you shall become their ruler. And of course, those are two things that David most definitely was. But why in particular are they significant? Because similar words are referred to our Savior. They're words found in Matthew's Gospel 2 and verse 6. They occur because the Magi had arrived and were looking for where the new king was to be found, and they go to where they think he might be, to the palace. And they go to see Herod, and Herod doesn't know anything about it, so he sends for the spiritual leaders of the people of Israel, and they are able to tell him what is in their scriptures, and this is what they say. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Now you know, don't you, that those words are a quotation from Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And refer, of course, to our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who ultimately is, of course, the good shepherd, who in every way epitomizes what a shepherd should be, a spiritual shepherd, of course. And so you see, those words of 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 2 are applied to King David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you have this thread of continuity running from the Old Testament into the New Testament of this picture, this image of the shepherd and the sheep of God's pasture. So as I said, the word shepherd appears many times in the Bible. And as I've hinted already, for me, one of the most challenging is found, perhaps surprisingly, as I've said already, in Ezekiel chapter 34. Strange, isn't it? Sometimes how you can read the Bible many times, and then somehow something strikes you in a way it hasn't done so before. And that's the beauty of the scriptures. That's what makes them living and powerful. It's the inspired word of God. Now in this chapter 34 of Ezekiel, it comes out a clear picture that God is very angry with the shepherds of Israel. Now in order to be accurate, the use of these words shepherds here refers to the rulers of Israel, just as David is referred to as a shepherd and a ruler. And in this instance, God is angry with those who were to care for the people of Israel, whether they were thought of as the rulers of Israel or spiritual leaders. He says, you have neglected my people. And there's no more serious or solemn charge than that. God says to them, you have neglected my people. And he's angry with them, very angry with them. They had cared only for themselves and ceased to care for the people of God, the people of his pasture. That, as far as God is concerned, you might say, is virtually an unforgivable dereliction of duty. God himself is one who's always constantly concerned for his people. Scriptures are full of that. We know that from our own experience. God is concerned for his people, for us. He loves us and he cares for us. And so in that chapter, God is angry at the shepherds of Israel because they were neglecting his people. And there is a display, I think you would say, of God's righteous anger. Now in the New Testament, you know the word shepherd takes on a new meaning and is used in those spiritual leaders of the church. It is, of course, in Acts 20:28 that we have this idea of the spiritual shepherd. Paul, in his final address in that most moving occasion, and he brought the elders of Ephesus to him, and he said to him, you know, this is the end of the road for us. You will never see me again. And it was a profoundly emotional time. Those men were disturbed, probably crying. And then the Apostle Paul says to him this, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds to the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. That last sentence is profoundly, deeply significant. We must never lose sight of it. The church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Be shepherds of God's church, which he bought with his own blood. That the church is bought, it is by the blood of Christ, is what makes it so precious and significant. And we must be very careful as we think of the church of Christ. We who are believers are those who have been born again because of what Christ did for us on Calvary. Okay, so then, we discovered, haven't we, that the significant, that the idea of a shepherd, the picture, the word shepherd was a significant figure in the Bible. Now we must ask ourselves, well, what does a shepherd do? Well, of course, first he cares for the sheep. And as well as that, we might say, is the most basic role of the shepherd. Basic it might be, but that does not make it unimportant. As Ezekiel 34 makes clear, it was the neglect of this basic role that so angered God. To neglect to care for God's people, the sheep of his pasture, is a profoundly serious thing. However, before going any further, of course, we have to ask ourselves a very important question. How does one become a sheep? Of course, I realize that in a sense might seem rather strange to be thinking of yourself as a sheep. However, when you keep in mind that in New Testament times, sheep were a very common and very valuable commodity. And because of that, and because of people lived all the time surrounded by sheep and shepherds, so God in his infinite wisdom takes it and says that we who are believers, we are sheep. So, but how do you become a sheep? You become a sheep when you're born again. And there's no other way to become a sheep. You can't become a sheep by good behavior or doing your best or anything like that. You can only be a sheep. You can only be one of God's flock, to use similar biblical language, when you're born again. When you acknowledge your sins and call on Christ as your Savior. Or if you like. When you embrace the gospel, when you embrace the good news, when you come in repentance and acknowledge your sins and call on Christ to be your Savior. Then it is, and only then, that Jesus becomes your shepherd. And as you'll see shortly, that is a very wonderful, precious thing. Jesus becomes our shepherd. He's not only our Savior and he's our Lord, he's the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's also our shepherd. And that's a glorious thing to remember. But you can only be one of the sheep of his pasture when you come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that being so then, you can be sure, you can be absolutely sure that your shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, will care for you. It was after all, David who said, "The Lord is my shepherd, so what? I shall not be in want." Now, those are words we've heard umpteen times, but pause and think. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not be in want of anything needful for my life and every aspect of it. And that is always true for those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust in him. He cares. He will care for us. In John chapter 10, You remember Jesus contrasts himself with a hired hand. And Jesus says, because he's only a hired hand, he's an employee of some. The sheep don't belong to him, and he really doesn't care an awful lot about them. He doesn't value them because they don't belong to him. So when he sees danger approaching in whatever way, well, he simply takes care of himself. But Jesus is not like that. Jesus stands in total contrast. So the man is simply the hired hand and he cares nothing much about the sheep. He does a minimum of work looking after him, but once danger threatens, he's off. You always care for what you value. Isn't that right? Whatever it is that you value, you hold to be precious. You value it. And you want to take care of it. In our house, amongst a lot of things, we have a porcelain Chinese bowl. And one day, a friend of ours, a Chinese friend, came to us. And I said, Frank, have a look at this bowl and tell us what you think of it. And when he looked at the bottom, he says, Bill, this is Ming. I've never held anything so old in all my life. Now, I didn't grab it out of his hands right away, but I took and set it over carefully. And we're now kept wondering, is that really Ming? Now, you probably know what's happening. We took photographs and sent it to the auctioneer, and the auctioneer said, ah, it's just a Japanese copy from the 19th century. Now, we didn't value the bowl any less after that. We still love it, and Maureen's delighted it's still there. But isn't it true? What you value, you will care for all the time. Now, that is so, and it is, think of how much our shepherd cares for us since he gave himself for us. As Paul puts it, he loved me and gave himself for me. That is remarkable. Since we remember that we were sinners without any love for him, we were his enemies. Yet in his compassion and in his mercy, he died to take away our sins. In that, he becomes our shepherd, and we become a sheep of his pasture. So the shepherd cares for the sheep. Secondly, the sheep are the shepherd's personal property. It's in John 10 in particular that Jesus talks of the sheep. He says, they're my sheep. They're mine. You remember how in the great high priestly prayer, Jesus said to the Savior about the disciples, they are mine. So of the sheep, they are mine. And that is made all the richer by the fact that he also says, and they know my voice. And that expresses a wonderful, deep, rich closeness of shepherd and sheep. It is that intimacy that makes the sheep willingly follow the shepherd. They recognize his voice. Some time ago, after an outbreak of foot and mouth disease in this country, an English farmer imported some French cows, and the first night he wanted to call them in to be milked, call as he might, they remained unmoved because they were French cows. And then he was able to use a few French words and they came immediately. You see, they understood. They recognized when the words were right. And the sheep know his voice. You know, there is a wonderful, isn't there, drawing power in the voice of Jesus. Oh, to have heard it. And one only needs to think of how Jesus called the disciples. And immediately they left all and followed him. You know, not all the disciples were poor. James and John had a father who had boats and fishing, and they were not exactly poor. Some of them were, but they weren't all. But nevertheless, they heard the voice of Jesus, and they left all immediately and followed him. You think of them. Matthew sitting there at the receipt of customers and says, as you might say, minding his own business. And one day he hears a man calling him. Such is his voice that he leaves all and follows him. The voice that stilled the storm and the waves spoke, and disciples followed him. It was that mighty voice that thundered into the tomb of Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come out. That was with power. And the dead Lazarus immediately came to life. And it was that voice that in a gentler tone said to a little girl, little girl, I say to you, get up. And she got up right away. And furthermore, it's a voice that still calls us to selfless commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that selfless commitment was so clearly illustrated in the parable of the shepherd in Luke 15. You know it well, don't you? He had 100 sheep until one day he discovered there's only 99 in the fold. And then, without any hesitation whatsoever, he goes off and searches diligently for one single sheep. Why did he do it? Because that one sheep was as valuable to him as the 99 shut up in the fold. And how much imagery is caught up in that picture, isn't there? It reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ, who does the same. One single sheep that's lost, and the shepherd does not rest until he goes out and searches and finds it. And he brings it home rejoicing and says to his friends, come, rejoice with me. I have found that which was lost. One sheep. There's only one. And you notice the great contrast here, don't you, with what is said in Ezekiel. The shepherds there, Jesus said, they didn't worry about the sheep. They weren't particularly concerned if any of them got lost or were bruised or hurt. They didn't trouble themselves to go searching for them because they didn't value them. So they weren't prepared to put themselves out to go and search for that. But that shepherd went and searched diligently, carefully, until he finds it. Because one sheep was just as precious to him as the 99 in the fold. Now, how easy it would have been for him to say, well, there's still 99, and I don't know where that sheep has gone. It's wandered off, sheep foolishly do from time to time. No, he went searching. And the master himself still searches for those who are lost. And he searches diligently until he finds him. And then there is that also added fact that when an individual is found and when an individual comes to repentance, we're told that all of heaven, the vast multitudes of the angelic beings, rejoice over a sinner that repents. You remember, don't you? that when the shepherds were out in the fields, suddenly there came the multitude of the heavenly hosts. And they were utterly amazed. Well, that multitude of heavenly hosts, they rejoice when even one sinner repents. Wow, that's wonderful. Okay. Now, thirdly, the shepherd loves the sheep and gives his life for them. He loves the sheep and gives his life for them. It is in that, in this, of course, that we have the supreme demonstration of the love of the shepherd for his sheep. And now you notice something that has happened. The role suddenly becomes reversed, as it were. It was of the shepherd that John the Baptist, when he saw him coming, the Lord Jesus, he said, "Behold, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So you have this incredible fact that the shepherd becomes a sacrificial lamb himself. Archibald Alexander was one of the founding professors of Princeton Theological Seminary in the 19th century. Most godly man, and preaching once, it was at the communion service, and amongst Presbyterians, communion is a massive thing. It's a very big thing. And he was preaching, and he thought about Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, and he looked down at the communion table, and he says, "And where is our lamb?" Well, our lamb is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He gives his life that the sheep might live. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, we read the words we're all familiar with. "We all like sheep have gone astray." So we're all like that sheep that went astray. We're like that one lost sheep in the parable. We have, as Isaiah 53, verse 6, continues to say, "Each of us have turned to his own way." And how significant those words are in this generation of so many self-centered people have gone their own way. So they're lost sheep. We were lost sheep. Why? Because we went our own way rather than God's way. And we are sinners. And as such, without Christ, there's no hope for us. And the greatest tragedy of our fellow human beings is that without the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no hope for them. No hope. No hope. You know, people often in the most difficult times in their lives are thinking, well, perhaps better days will come. Perhaps there's some hope. But without Christ, no hope whatsoever. That's tragic. I was just like the shepherd in the parable. Jesus, our shepherd, comes looking for us. And when we are found, this is the most wonderful thing. He brings us home rejoicing. Imagine that. And again, we're told that the angels of heaven join in rejoicing. All of heaven rejoices, even over one sinner who repents. So then, let me ask you this evening, all here. So are you. Can you say that you are one of the sheep of God's pasture? Are you able to say, the Lord is my shepherd? I shall not want. That's quite a powerful statement. It takes a tremendous amount of confidence to say that, to claim these words of Scripture for yourself. But by God's grace, you're able to do so. And every believer is able to say this thing, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hallelujah. So, here's this picture from the Scriptures, this image, this theme, this little motif, or whatever you want to call it, of the shepherd. A lovely, rich picture. And the shepherd cares for sheep. They're valuable to him. They're precious to him. Everyone's precious. And a great demonstration of his love for them is that he becomes the sacrificial lamb himself. And he dies for us and instead of us. And as a result of that, every believer is able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that we, the people of God, we're the sheep of God's pasture. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we rejoice that you are our shepherd. And you love us with an everlasting love. And we marvel at that, and marvel all the more that you took our sins and died for us. And we long, Lord, that there are many more will come and be gathered into that fold and become the sheep of God's pasture. Oh, may be so in this place, Lord, and we ask this for your glory, for Christ's sake. Amen.